At 11, right now it's time for Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll be speaking with Jody Chemis and Nikki Benoit, the Florida Voices for Animals. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. This is the Rainstick Orchestra with a piece called Waltz for a Little Bird here on Talking Animals. This is the Rainstick Orchestra with a piece called Waltz for a Little Bird. The animal tune of sorts as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. For more information about the show and past guests, as well as archives and iTunes podcasts, I invite you to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guests, Jody Chemis and Nikki Benoit of Florida Voices for Animals, a Tampa-based organization devoted to education about an array of animal issues, starting with the virtues of a vegan diet and related concerns about factory farming. We'll find out more about Florida Voices for Animals, its outreach efforts, and more when we speak with Jody Chemis and Nikki Benoit in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, of course, we'll welcome your questions and comments, 813-239-9663, or by email at dj@wmnf.org. It's time now, and our always try to at least briefly hit one animal news item or announcement, and in this case we got something about going on an event this Saturday, July 12th, and something sponsored by Animal by Nature's called Help Day, Hurricane Event for Lovers of Pets, and it's going to be taking place at 1100 North Tuttle Avenue in the Grand Slam Plaza in Sarasota. And enjoy food, drinks, and lots of fun for the kids. Visit our help station, receive these life-saving services and education, information, etc., microchipping, laminated photos, one of you and your pet, veterinary assistance on proper documents and vaccinations, spay-neuter information, flea-worm, tick, and mosquito information, crate education, easy-to-use foods, first aid kits, and more. For more information, call 941-953-2983. Sounds like a cool event. All right, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. And this is Tom Papa with a piece called Pet People on today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals.
We got to go somewhere, though. This baby is just killing us. We had to have a baby, though. It was really getting to a point. My wife was becoming one of those weird pet people. Like anytime someone would tell a story about their kid doing something like scoring a goal in soccer, my wife would chime in, "Oh, that's like Gracie when she bats the ball down the hallway." Shut up. Pet people are very aggressive now. Have you noticed that? Pet people, very, very mean. If you don't like pets, they think you're like a Nazi or something. You don't like pets? You're so mean. How can you not like pets? You're so mean. Really, I'm mean. I'm not the one keeping a wild animal hostage in my apartment. No, but he loves me. Really. Open the door. See how much he loves you as he's hightailing it to Pennsylvania.
All right, that was Tom Papa with a piece called Pet People, taken from his album Cool, Calm, and Collected. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, all 5 years and more, but most are now available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our show last week with author Garth Stein, and the one before that with Moby. We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace. Maybe you'd like to become our friend. There's place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guest program news and remind you when the show will next air here on WMNF. That's TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guests, Jody Chemis and Nikki Benoit. So let me quickly outline a few important details about them. As I touched on a moment ago, they're members of Florida Voices for Animals, a Tampa-based organization devoted to educating the public about a host of animal issues, including the multiple virtues of a vegan diet and related concerns about factory farming, as well as the use and abuse in other fields, including entertainment and medical research. Their educational outreach efforts range from frequent leafletting to public access cable TV show, and I guess they'll be doing some outreach right now. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Jody Chemis, who's on the phone, and Nikki Benoit, who's in the studio right here on Talking Animals. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us here at Talking Animals. So I'm going to ask one or both of you to kind of expand the description I just offered of Florida Voices for Animals. But briefly, I guess I'd like to start at the beginning. When and how did the organization start?
Well, Florida Voices for Animals is a nonprofit 501c3 that's been in the Tampa Bay area since about 1989. It was co-founded by Miriam Parham and her mother, Elena Flanagan. And since then, they've identified that one of the most effective means to end non-human animal suffering is just educating the masses on what of our daily activities are contributing to said suffering. Since, again, most of what we're doing, we don't know the connectivity it has to needless cruelty and inherent suffering.
And how would you say that since that founding, it's evolved?
Well, throughout the nearly two decades, they have many phases have come and gone. The membership has expanded to over 400 active volunteers and members of folks ranging anywhere from the Tampa Bay area all the way to across the nation. Just people that understand grassroots activism and one-on-one outreach is really what it takes to have a groundswell of cultural shifts for any topic, really. So they're the only organization that I've seen, really, at the grassroots level here in the Tampa Bay area and the Tri-County region that has identified with this and been on the ground talking with folks at events and at schools and different local communities to try to bring awareness to this issue. So really, I guess what differentiates them from others is their connectivity with the masses.
And sort of as part of that, Nikki, and again, Jody, feel free to jump in. As part of that sort of process, and especially the evolution from when it was founded, how do you view FVAs, if I may say FVAs, primary objectives? Well, I mean, what is sort of the chief mandate here in the middle of 2008, would you say?
Our primary goals have been recently to focus on factory farming. Since Nikki's been with us, she's been expanding it to basically every animal issue that you can think of. She just started doing committees where our members will sign up for different committees like companion animals or research or factory farming. But for the majority of our time, we've been focusing on factory farms where the majority of our animal products come from. Factory farms are now treating animals basically like machinery. If you go to www.chooseveg.com, you can actually see footage of factory farms that have taken from multiple places. So this is going on in a widespread manner. You know, a lot of these animals become too sick to move. They're denied veterinary care. They don't have enough space to move around. So it's just not many people know about it. So go to chooseveg.com and read about it. At least, you know, we tell people just to inform yourself about it so that you can make educated choices.
And Jody, when you say that not that many people know about it, is that how the organization or its leadership sort of decided that factory farming would become a kind of pivotal issue and cause for FVA?
Right. Well, that's part of it, is that, you know, not many people are aware just because it is largely hidden from view. But also it's that, you know, 10 billion animals a year are slaughtered in the United States alone, and that far exceeds, you know, any other animal issue in terms of numbers of animals that is out there right now.
And so I gather that you folks place a premium on encouraging folks to, in this realm and others, make compassionate choices. So if we invoke the kind of you know, spokes on a wheel analogy, I mean, how would it be to suggest that factory farming is sort of the axle of the wheel, and eschewing factory farming radiates outward, so we reduce, or at least we don't support that form of animal cruelty and obviously the killing that you just described. So that's one spoke. Of course, there's the positive rather than negative impact on the environment. Maybe you guys could speak to that in a moment as well, as another spoke. And then, you know, needless to say, just one's personal health, there's the boon of that spoke. Would that be sort of a decent characterization? Or?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've met a lot of people who go at it from health, environment, and animal ethical reasons personally, and I know a lot of people on the Florida Voices for Animals board do it for animal rights reasons and animal welfare reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, these animals live on concrete their whole lives. They are denied sunlight. A lot of them get, you know, diseases and sores because of the lack of veterinary care. A lot of times also they're manipulated to grow very large and fast, and that causes them to have crippling leg disorders, and a lot of them become too weak to move, which results in these workers, you know, having to drag them by their legs or by their wings. I've seen footage of animals being bulldozed to areas other, you know, that they need to be placed. So, you know, it's, you know, we don't think about it very much. And when you think about the logistics of, you know, the industry trying to process 10 billion animals a year, it becomes, you know, a nightmare of them just doing things as fast as they can. Slaughter lines move so fast right now to meet the high demand for meat that animals are sometimes not stunned properly. And I actually have a quote from a slaughter plant worker who actually would slaughter the animals and they would bleed out. And the quote is that, you know, this is the quote by Tommy Vladek. He's a slaughter plant worker. It says, "After they left me, the hogs would go up a 100-foot ramp to a tank where they were dunked in 140-degree water. Water any hotter than that would take the meat right off their bones. There's no way these animals can bleed out in the few minutes it takes to get up the ramp. By the time they hit the scalding tank, they're still fully conscious and squealing. It happens all the time." So, I mean, that's someone who actually worked in that environment and
yeah.
came out against it.
In a position to know all too well. So, well, this may bring us to an ideal spot to discuss another priority of, as I understand it, Florida Voices for Animals, promoting the virtues of a vegan diet. I want to get into that with you both in a moment. But first, this is Talking Animals on WMNF. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Nikki Benoit and Jody Chemis of Florida Voices for Animals. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Nikki or Jody a question. Please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. And in fact, we do have a call that sort of came in right from the get-go. So in the hopes that it's Talking Animals related, we'll put it in there. Hi, you're on WMNF with Jody and Nikki from Florida Voices for Animals.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good. How about you? Did you have a question or comment for them?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
It's great to hear this show and to have an organization like this. And although they haven't specifically touched on this yet, I think it's touching on their efforts. Have you noticed just recently, in the last 2 days, how mainstream media has been smearing animal rights activists and the entire cause of animal rights activism, basically with a broad brush, claiming that all efforts to highlight the tortures of factory farming and laboratory experiments are akin to terrorism, and not in any of the articles I saw, Associated Press or otherwise, did they interview any animal advocate to explain that what really is terrorism is how animals are treated in factory farms and labs. I'd like for your folks to comment on this, or at least to be aware that the mainstream media seems to be totally against our cause.
Yeah, we definitely are aware of that, and I think you put that very eloquently. The terrorism is against the animals. And, you know, I think it was a couple of years ago they passed the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, to try to prevent people, you know, that care about these animals to, you know, from doing anything about it. So, you know, I think a lot of it is because the people who are making money off of these practices have a lot more money than animal rights activists do. I think that's part of it. And Nikki, did you want to comment?
I do. In fact, if you look at the bigger picture of why animal advocates are targeted, ultimately what we're hoping to bring light of is the inherent behind-the-scenes cruelty that non-human animals have bestowed upon them for generating a greater profit for bigger business and industry. So ultimately, the negative impact of our bringing this issue to the forefront is a monetary loss on behalf of industry that's trying to maximize their output by cutting corners at the cost and at the price of an innocent creature. So ultimately, it's the worldview of a terrorist is such that it threatens the lifestyle, livelihood, and safety of a community. So when you disrupt someone's business image, you're actually going to, it's considered a greater threat than anything that they can perceive. So it's much easier and much quicker to label non-human animal advocates as crazy or extreme. It's unfortunately been on the media waves here and there, and it comes and goes, and it's really a great ploy on their part to kind of capture the attention and make us seem like we're lunatics. And if you have ever met a non-human animal advocate, by and large, we're educated, compassionate. If you look at the board, just the volunteer board of Florida Voices for Animals, we're comprised of Jody, who's a CPA. We have our president, who is a registered dietitian. We have every walk of life. We have attorneys. We have a number of well-educated and upstanding community citizens that are aware of these issues and just trying to bring it to the forefront. And if you look at, as Duncan had mentioned, the numerous benefits of adhering to a vegan diet, just incorporating compassionate actions into everything that you do and something as fundamental as your food choices, how can anything bad come from a lifestyle choice that incorporates the net benefit of all? And then you look at the health benefits, the environmental benefits, the world hunger benefits, folks. 70% of all the grains grown in the United States are being funneled through livestock. There's a net loss of product at the end of the day when we are consuming animals and funneling all of our precious grains through them, and then the fossil fuels that go into it, and then the water that we have to put forward to maintain these animals and all the crops and the pesticides and the herbicides. The list goes on and on. And there's a number of resources to learn more about that, so I won't take up too much time. You can always contact anybody with Florida Voices for Animals. You can visit our website at floridavoicesforanimals.org. There's an email address on there as well for fvaonline@yahoo.com, or you can contact me directly at nikkifva@gmail.com, and we can get into this with greater detail. But basically, there's a threat on behalf of the bigger business in the industry that all of the subsidies and all of the industry interests of the animal ag industry, the dairy industry, they're threatened by this cultural shift.
Okay, well, not necessarily playing devil's advocate, but sometimes just the timing of things provides kind of another richness to this sort of discussion. So in the wake of something like the Salmonella outbreak, attributed to tomatoes in recent days, you often hear people observing that it's sort of hard to reconcile this problem with the touting of a veggie diet. How would you respond to that? And we've got a few callers. We're going to get to some, and we got an email too, so we're just going to keep everything a little shorter if we can.
Well, if you look at the bacterial outbreaks, that's from animal byproducts. You're not going to see typically any kind of a disease or epidemic on behalf of broccoli or spinach in and of itself. There has to be some kind of interaction with an animal byproduct. And again, it's mass production. It's unsustainable. It's irresponsible. Our current day practices, we're using animal excrement as fertilizer. And if you look at how quickly we're trying to process all of our quote-unquote commodities, there's bound to be a net output of any kind of bycatch within the spinach. You may have more than just spinach in the spinach. I mean, it's anything when you're trying to industrialize a process like this, there's going to be negative backlash. Jody, do you have anything to add?
Nope.
Okay, let's we got some callers that have sort of come and gone, and I'm sorry, but let me try to get at least one on here. Now, you're on WMNF with Nikki and Jody from Florida Voices for Animals.
Is that me?
Yeah, it sure is, sir. Go ahead with a quick question if you do, please.
Yeah, I do have a quick question. I'm glad that they're doing this. I like the cause. What I'd like to know, I hate feeding my children that kind of beef and chicken, factory processed stuff. I'd like to for them to let us know who or where we can buy free range, humanely treated beef and poultry. Is there some place in Florida, or is there, do you know of any place that is not a factory farm that people can buy these products that, the animals are treated humanely?
Yeah, there are places that sell free range and organic meat. The problem with that a lot of times is that free range doesn't necessarily mean that it's not from a factory farm. There are plenty of free-range factory farms where you know, free range isn't really a regulated label, and so basically anyone can say they're free range as long as the animals aren't in a cage.
You're right about that. I know Michael Pollan wrote a book about that, The Omnivore's Dilemma,
right,
where he went and did some research on that and actually found that was true. But
mm-hmm.
What I'd like to maybe find out, if maybe on a future show, if you guys could actually come back and maybe, you know, give the consumers or put it on your website where we can actually go and...
We actually did that. There's a website called VegTampaBay.com.
One more time, please.
Veg, V-E-G, TampaBay.com. And
okay.
It has local resources that, you know, of veg-friendly stores, like natural food stores and restaurants that sell cruelty-free food.
And if I can,
awesome.
If I can add to that, there's another resource. If you go to the meetup sites, meetup.com, there's a number of, it's a nationwide networking group. And here in the Tampa Bay area, we have Tampa Bay Animal Rights and also St. Pete Vegetarians. And we keep those groups as up to date with any issues or any new, local organic produce, organizations in the area. And we send constant emails out. We have events that come up on a regular basis. We do a lot of outreach in that sense too. So again, go to meetup, meetup.com and type in Tampa Bay Animal Rights or St. Pete Vegetarians. And we keep them up to date with all the local hits too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your call. This is Talking Animals on WMNF. We're speaking with Nikki Benoit and Jody Chemis of Florida Voices for Animals. We've got just a few minutes left, unfortunately. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call us 813-239-9660 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. So luckily, you guys, sort of in the course of answering my questions or the caller questions, have been able to offer some websites and other resources. And I know that sort of the emphasis of Florida Voices for Animals is as an educational group, and sometimes with that objective, the line can get a bit blurry between educating the people on animal related matters and presenting that information in a manner that some might find condescending or off-putting. I mean, how does Florida Voices sort of navigate that line?
Well, I think the thing about a lot of the information being offensive to people or people not, you know, really wanting to look at it is because of the act in and of itself. We had someone the other day send us an email that said that, you know, the video that we had on our website was biased. And these videos that are shown of slaughterhouses and factory farms are collected from numerous factory farms. It's not just one. So you can't say it's an isolated incident. And if the images are offensive, then, you know, that's what's going on. We should be offended by it, I think. We should put our foot down and say we won't stand for this. And that's what we try to tell people if that situation arises.
Nobody has ever articulated a position that they appreciate cruelty. It's really, like Jody just said, it's disconnection. It's not being aware of what's going on. And people, their guard is up. They get defensive, thinking that we might insinuate that they need to change their lifestyle. Folks, that's not the case. We know that nobody would promote or condone such inherent cruelty. It's just we have a purchasing power and we have the ability to hit them where it hurts and make a stand for what we know to be right. You can make the transition to a plant-based diet easier more now than ever. There are so many fake meat options and fake cheeses, and it's not living off a carrot and celery for the rest of your life. There are so many tasty options. I just had tofu cheesecake last night, and I've never liked cheesecake before. It's just it's one of the easiest transitions you can make, and it's got really the loudest voice.
And I noticed you didn't bring me a piece
of
the tofu cheesecake, Nikki. But all right, let's take a few quick calls. We got all kinds of calls here. Unfortunately, we're running desperately short on time. So you're on the air with Nikki and Jody from Florida Voice Rounds. If you have a very quick short question or comment, that'd be great.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. My question is, I'm a meat eater, and I realize that there's a lot more going on here, but I think the problem is mechanized farming. That's the biggest problem, because we are doing things to our meat that normally passes on to us as poison. You see what I'm saying?
You're right, and the end result is, if we even knew what really was going into the animals that you folks are eating, and this is from the Union of Concerned Scientists, they're being fed the same species, meat, diseased animals, feathers, hair, skin, hooves, blood, manure, plastics, drugs and chemicals, and unhealthy amounts of grains. That's what's being funneled through these animals that you folks are eating. When you're a fatty animal, you accumulate more toxins. So, yeah, that by and large, that's what you're getting at your Publix, at your Giants, at your Safeway.
Well, if we go But if we go back to the way it used to be, where you had farmers making their products from the good earth, not using a lot of chemicals and everything else to grow, one, you have a healthier diet in this country. You have healthier animals that you slaughter, I think, if you can call it a more humane way.
That's true, but the problem is right now is that there's such a high demand for meat that there's no way that there could be that many animals produced in those circumstances.
Well, maybe us meat eaters need to change our habits.
Right.
Absolutely.
If everybody would reduce consumption or eliminate consumption of animal products. Plus, the other thing is, you know, they're always going to be slaughtered. And right now, the Humane Slaughter Act isn't very well enforced, as you can see by the latest Humane Society of the United States footage. And birds are actually exempt from the Humane Slaughter Act.
That's a shame. Well, is there anybody local here in Florida that will grow free range, that we know is a farmer and not a factory farmer, that we can go to kind of like get our meat on a neighborhood basis or an individual basis?
Right.
Well, I think we sort of addressed that a moment ago in vegtampabay.com and other resources that Jody and Nikki mentioned might be information where you could get that.
We don't actually have anyone up there that sells meat.
Right. Yeah, I guess I was just going to say, I just meant like,
You could probably, search online, or if you want, to email us, we can try to find you something local.
Absolutely.
And since we are, unfortunately, now at the end of our time, I just want to remind people that the website is floridavoicesforanimals.org, and there's information there, all kinds of links to click on. There's an email address to ask such questions and any other questions to follow up with Nikki or Jody. And Nikki, if you want to give your email one more time more directly, you're welcome to do that.
Thank you, Duncan. Yes, it's my direct email is Nikki, N-I-K-K-I, F as in Florida, V as in Voices, A as in Animals, @gmail.com. You can always go to our website at www.floridavoicesforanimals.org. There's a link to make donations because, we're a nonprofit. We need money. And also our email and mailing address on there as well as a number of other resources for you.
All right. Well, Jody and Nikki, thank you so much. This has been Nikki Benoit and Jody Chemis of Florida Voices for Animals. Again, as always, I wish we had more time, but we covered a good amount of ground. We had some good calls and good questions, and let's say we'll have you guys on again on Talking Animals down the road.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much. All right. Okay, I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our MySpace, sign up to be our friend, make suggestions for future topics and more. That's all found on talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals baseball hat, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune that's playing right now. It's named an animal tune on Talking Animals. All right, we just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. Ordinarily, the program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month. So, officially, we'll be back again Wednesday. Hi, do you know the name of the song?
Elephant Walk.
No.
It's not Elephant Walk?
No, but you're in the right territory. It is an instrumental, it is animal related, and it's pretty well known, but sorry. Hi, do you know?
Hello.
Hi, do you know the answer?
Alley Cat.
That's right. Stay on hold. Stay on hold. It's Bent Fabric with Alley Cat. That's absolutely right. So anyways, normally the show again airs the first and second Wednesday of each month. So officially we'll be back Wednesday, August 6th, but far more immediately, thanks to an opportunity given to me by News and Public Affairs Director Rob Lori, I'll be sitting in for Rob this afternoon at 1 p.m. with a special hour-long edition of Talking Animals. Like the show when I was broadcasting it in California. My guest will be Michael Mountain, president and a founder of Best Friends Animal Society, which operates the country's largest sanctuary for abused and abandoned animals and steps in to help with all sorts of animal crises across the country, like the Iowa floods, Michael Vick's dogs, and Katrina victims. So I hope you'll join me for that and about 1:05, just after Democracy Now. And please visit our website, talkinganimals.net. While you're there, sign up for our email newsletter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. be kind to others, be kind to yourself. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal song. This is new music by Daniel Lanois with Moondog right here on WMNF Tampa.
Moondog, I trust you, it's been long. I trust you when it's covered bound. In facelessness, I know your sound. Sweet bottom where there's dust. I need to lift the weight I must. Better feel and wait for long. Better feel and wait for long. To with a look and this is easy to be kind. To with a look and this is easy to be kind. Hey, you know I laid my face. Laughing gun.